It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple releases new iPads, Magic Keyboard, Apple Pencil Pro, and software. iPad ad gets crushed with criticism. Apple's second quarter results and Apple Watch AFib history gets FDA approval. Plus reviews of iPad Pro M4, Magic Keyboard and Pencil Pro, ChatGPT 4.0, and the PGA and F1 Racing. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 467, recorded Sunday, May 19th, 2024. Bad press.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Buenos dias.
Buenos, you threw me on that one. I can't say that. Okay. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Well, hey, Tom. Hey, Vincent. Good to be on our normal cycle of time, although I think we're, what, a week late or something? But
yeah, sorry about that, everyone. We're about a week late or so. Schedules just didn't work out until now. Sometimes that can't be helped, but we are here, hopefully for the better, that we'll have a little more time to talk. I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling a little bit crushed lately under the weight of public opinion. Yeah, we'll see. We'll get to that story here in a second. Because it all has to do with Apple's Let Loose event. Again, we're a little late in talking about this because it was a while back. But they announced, no surprise here, it was a very short, it was like 38-minute video on their website that where they debuted all of their new iPads. So we got, an iPad Pro and this was a surprise because it was rumored, but I think the rumors were actually right that it would have the M4 chip in it, even though the M3 just came out. So suddenly the Apple product with the best chip in it is the iPad Pro. That's just crazy. And I've heard some things about why they were doing that. But anyway, it's on sale now. It's available. You can get it now. So anyway, the iPad Pro in two sizes. We had the 11-inch and the 13-inch model. And I love the idea they got rid of the 12.9. It's just, yeah, it's 13. Let's just call it 13. Unless we, did we get a point one inch increase?
Inflation, I think.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was.
Because they flattened it up.
They're calling it had a major display upgrade here. They're calling it the Ultra. Here we go with the words Ultra Retina XDR OLED. And that comes in both the 11 and the 13 inch. And for the first time, you have the option of a nano texture glass for those models. And then we also got an iPad Air. Number 6, I do believe, but for the first time is also available in a 13 inch. So pretty cool. And those have the M2 chip in them. And all four models now have the brand new landscape front facing cameras. So it took them a long time to make that move, didn't it?
It did. I mean, these are powerful little machines now. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Definitely. Unbelievable. Now the display on the Pro models is what they call, what is it? Tandem OLED. Is that right? Am I doing that right? Tandem. I know I'm missing what they're calling it, but I thought it was in fact, I also read that that's not a term that they made up. Apparently that's a real thing. That's an actual standard
Never heard that before. Other
than tandem OLED. About it. So what it is, and again, if you watch their event, they explain it a lot better than I will right now, but it's basically two layers of OLED that are layered together to double the brightness and all that, to really get it to pop. So that's why they're doing it. So apparently that's something known in the industry, that if the OLED's not bright enough, they do a tandem thing, which I understand is like crazy difficult to manufacture, to get it right.
I would imagine, yes.
But apparently they're doing it, because that's what we got. That was kind of the gist of the whole thing. They also announced some new software.
Oh.
We got Final Cut Pro 2 and Logic Pro 2 for the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
This was a big surprise to me. I can't wait to try this out. Final Cut camera.
Yeah, I saw that. That's kind of interesting.
That is really cool. It'll be free from Apple, directly support a new live multicam feature that's in Final Cut Pro for iPad. So you'll be able to set up multiple iPhones and see all what they're seeing on the iPad at the same time and adjust them independently. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And record it directly into Final Cut.
You know what I thought about this, Tom? I thought, my thought was, when I read that little snippet about Final Cut, was now you're going to start seeing like multi-camera comedies being done on iPhones by people, just normal people. And then they get online and you'll start seeing these TV shows by just like people like you and me. That's what really came into my mind. You could do so much with a multicam.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these systems to do this sort of thing, these switchers and whatnot, cost so much money.
Oh, do they? Like thousands?
And they just Sherlocked them.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, not that long ago, you would pay hundreds of thousands to get a really good system.
Wow. Yeah,
and to be able to do it on an iPhone and an iPad? This is crazy. Lots and lots of stuff packed into that 38 minutes.
I wonder if it works with the same type of camera. I mean, I'm assuming you have to have the latest OS and the ability to stream across it. It wouldn't be different cameras.
Different. What do you mean, like
if you have different iPhones, you know, of different generations, probably won't work this well in terms of resolution.
Yeah, there's probably a like anything else, there's a requirement.
Yeah,
minimum infrastructure requirement, I'm sure, is on there somewhere.
Yeah. Now, my question is, can I use other cameras with this software? Can I plug in? Can I tap into my Canon?
Yeah,
or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can start plugging those together into this thing, and I don't know why you wouldn't be able to, right? We'll have to see.
Yeah,
it's not out yet. Yeah. So, yeah,
interesting. My favorite thing about the whole thing was actually the nano glass. I was kind of disappointed that it wasn't in any of the other versions except the Pro.
The nano glass, the texture.
Yeah, the textured glass. Yeah.
Now, I heard about that, you know, buyer beware here, and even Apple was kind of like making a statement about it to let people know that it's really for people who use the iPad outdoors a lot. Anything you're going to get extreme reflections on, you're going to need it. If you just get a couple of reflections, you know, at home with your lights, it's probably not worth it. And the reason why is it makes the screen not as bright. I've seen side-by-side comparisons, and it's quite different. So a little warning, not only is it more expensive to do it, you get better make sure you really need it. You know, otherwise, buy it without, and you can get a, you know, screen protector that gives you that sort of anti-glare or whatever.
So it's primarily for visual, not necessarily a texture that for the pencils effect.
No, it's not. And you can get that too. You can get paper like screen covers, you know. Speaking of pencil, I forgot to mention one of the most exciting things was a new Apple Pencil Pro, which they've packed all kinds of stuff into. I mean, they really did a major upgrade with the pencil. It now has a squeeze feature that up brings up different menus and different programs for you to select things from. It has the double tap, although I do believe that was in the previous one.
It was. It was.
And then they have this thing called barrel roll, which is quite amazing that you can turn it and it will turn like mm-hmm. you would an actual tip of anything you're writing with. It'll adjust it as well. And then it has Find My built in. So that's new as well.
It's great. It's great. It's way overdue. I mean, I can't believe they waited. This is the version 3. And how many years between the pencils? At least 3 or 4 years, wasn't it? So I can't believe
there's like four of them. Isn't there like four of them now? There's the original Apple Pencil, which I still have.
Right.
There was the new one that redesigned the look of it. It wasn't completely round. It had the flat side and allows you to
that's what I have
magnetically click it and charge. Then they came out with just last year a USB-C version.
That's
not Lightning.
Yeah.
And now we have the Pencil Pro.
Yeah.
So there's four. And what's maddening is you must have the correct one to work with the correct iPad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not cross compatible.
At all. I would have bought one of the new pencils a long time ago, but it won't work with my old iPad. So I had to wait, you know. And the same with this. The Pro only works with the new Pro.
What about the keyboard? Would the keyboard work? The old one?
Yes, apparently people said that it had. That's the other thing, a new Magic Keyboard. I totally forgot they did that as well, which is what, aluminum now, metal, which it wasn't before. It has a bigger trackpad. It now has a function row at the top. So pretty cool.
Wait, jump past the price of the pencil.
$129, I do believe. That's the same, right? I don't think that price changed.
That didn't change. Okay.
No. The iPads, however.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot tell you how many times I went through Apple's cart and just kept reconfiguring over and over and over to see what would, because I was kind of in shock. It's like, you know, if you really spec this thing out.
Right.
I forgot what it was, over $3,000.
You said like 3,200.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. If you went full tilt, right? All the memory, all the stuff, all the bells and whistles, everything.
Yeah.
But that is kind of sticker shock.
Well, for people like you and me, the use case doesn't support that. But now with the functionality, the pencil, the speed, you know, the screen, the memory, you know, it could be used for things where $3,200 is, there will be a business case for it.
True. But the other thing that's still frustrating, and I've been listening to other podcasts since we were delayed here, talking about these as they come in and people are reviewing them and all that. They say that just like in the past, the most frustrating thing about it is the hardware is overpowered for the software.
Mm-hmm.
That the software hasn't caught up to what it should be able to do.
Well, this is my head scratcher, and I'm hoping that one day they do this and maybe they already have, and I just haven't found out, but like it's powerful enough to run a full Mac OS operating system at this point, right? It's just, it has just to be an app. It just has to be an app that's actually running on there. I mean, you used to simulate this type of capability with remote desktop, right?
Oh my God. You're talking about an app of Mac OS.
Basically.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it can just remote into your iCloud version of this, you know, for storage and data and everything else, because everything's there already anyway.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that they're preparing the groundwork for that, because that would just be mind blowing after WWDC, that the iPad can run a full version of Mac OS. You can work off of it. You're done.
It would kill their Mac sales.
That's right. They're
not going to tank them.
Right? It would.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly. Because this iPad would then be the most powerful Mac. It has the, well, I guess not, because of all the other stuff they put into the desktop models like Mac Studio and stuff.
Right.
But right now it has the most powerful chip of any Mac out there. And you can hook it up to other monitors, displays. other devices, keyboards, mice, all that sort of thing. So,
but everything kind of points in that direction.
It does.
Like, yeah. It's like, what are they going to do? I mean, they've rebranded, renamed themselves before. So who knows? Mm-hmm. The Mac might actually go away. Who knows?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I see why they're walking that tightrope, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when
it's tough, You don't want to kill either side because either side does great, you know?
Right. And when the iPad came out, I don't think the vision was to get as close to the Mac as it is now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I don't know what Steve Jobs thought it would be. I mean, when it was released, it was kind of just a content consumable device.
I think he would have killed off the Mac a long time ago. I mean,
you think so?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it would have gotten a large screen, like that mm-hmm. patent that we saw with mm-hmm. tilt-down iMac. I mean, you got to go in that direction because right now they've got too many boxes.
Yeah. Too many. Okay. Speaking of different boxes, good segue and the Pencil Pro here. Hmm. Apparently it comes with 5 different boxes.
Right. Right.
With different art on the front, all with the word Pro done artistically with a Apple Pencil in it. But apparently you have to go to the store to make sure you get the right one. Otherwise, you're just going to get whatever they send you. And are you looking at the picture here of all 5?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I did not recognize that was Pro across all of these packages.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the background of the iPad itself.
Yeah.
In the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the word Pro in like some liquid metal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But okay, of these 5, which ones do you guys like? And I'll put a link in the show notes for this, by the way, people can see them.
The middle one there, the one that's kind of
Just
easy.
The simple PRO. Simple.
Yeah. Yeah, the other ones are just too complex for my brain.
How about you, Vincent?
I like the one that's more graffiti-esque. Yeah.
Which one is that?
The one more colorful one. What is that? Let's see. I lost the scroll.
The blue one or the purpley one?
Purpley one.
Okay, at the top.
Yeah.
Top. Yeah. Yeah, well, the one I got that was delivered to me was one at the bottom, that was like water.
Yeah, the water. Like water the blue, one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I debated whether I should go into the store to get, and by the way, I did get a new iPad. It'll be what I like this week. But I debated whether I should just go into the store and pick it up because maybe then I could request one of these, but I thought it didn't really matter.
Yeah, the first one doesn't matter, does it? I mean, specifically wanted one.
There's a market somewhere for these.
Well, you want to collect them, you're going to spend $645 for all 5.
And
you know, they got rid of the stickers. Kind of sad that there'll be no more Apple stickers, I don't think, in any new products because it's plastic. Mm-hmm. They're getting rid of plastic. Everything's, you know, done with paper packaging now.
Mm.
But anyway, I don't know why they did this. I guess it's kind of like they did with the Apple Watch. You know, when you opened it up, it had different images and things inside, depending on what model you got.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that type of packaging design that they were going for. If you go into the store, you can request it. They said apparently if they're real busy, you probably won't be able to, but you can see all the boxes there in the store too, as well. So, anyway.
Well, I was just wondering. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just wondering the same thing. I was wondering why they did this too, because generate interest. I'm not so much to generate revenue. I mean, come on, they don't really need that, but.
Right.
Had to be just to, you know, be able to do what we're doing right now. Talk about it more than 2 seconds.
Mm. I think it's kind of the reputation of Apple that they don't just here it is and everything's the same. They try to make it interesting, especially with a device like the Pencil, right? Mm-hmm. What's it for? It's for creativity. So they're going to show off a bit of that. Just like it really ties into the invitation that they did for this event. Remember the Apple logo was drawn in different ways that you saw on their website? It's very similar what they've done now with the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So that all kind of ties together creatively. Yeah.
I was wondering whether or not it was done with contracted artists or done in-house and whether or not this is kind of like an ongoing trend.
That's a good question.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know a long time ago they did something similar with different Apple logos, and they did commission artists to do each. Everyone did a different one.
Yeah.
And I think eventually somebody turned that into a screensaver that I've had for a while, where they were animated and did different things. It was really cool with the Apple logo.
Yeah.
But in this case, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know. Was it done by one person or five different people? Or maybe they had an open contest in their...
Maybe it was all AI. Who knows?
It was AI.
There you go. It's AI. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
Which part of AI does the picture drawing, the rendering? Wallet?
The Dolly.
Dolly, yeah. So they just went into OpenAI and said, Dolly, give me five creative designs for the word pro.
Goodness.
You know.
So I'm going to try that on Midjourney, see what I get.
You should do it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow.
See, I want the word pro done, with an Apple Pencil through the middle and see how close I get to that. And I can just print it out and stick it on the box and have my own, right?
Yeah, they said, give me 15 versions of it. And then they took five and refined them. They asked AI a couple times to retry it a little more, to retry it a few more times. And this is what they had 15 minutes later.
Oh, man. You know, we're joking about it and laughing, but sadly, that is the future.
I was kind of being serious.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Are you feeling a little crushed or deflated?
Yes. Yes, creatively crushed. Well, speaking of that, Apple, during the event, played an ad, as they normally do for their new products. They play an ad. This one was titled Crush. And it's 1 minute long, and it shows a bunch of art materials and things creatively. Okay, art, I mean literal art, like paint and stuff like that, but even music things, a piano.
A full piano,
guitar, all that kind of stuff. Was it a trombone? But then sprinkled into all of this mess was also the Angry Birds, bird, like a version of that, and emojis in 3D. And anyway, all this stuff is being crushed by a giant compactor thing, and all the paint's squirting out and everything's getting crunched. And then it completely compresses, and then a big gust of smoke and air comes out of it, and it lifts up. And I knew where they were going with it, right? Did you know where this was going to end up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty obvious.
Quite a build
up. But it comes up. There's the new iPad.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, this was going to be my pick for what I like this week. This is ad. That's how much I thought it was cool. That's how much I enjoyed this ad. I love the creativity of it. I love the execution of it. The simplicity of the idea. My only gripe with it at all really was the choice of music.
I forget, was it
Sonny and Cher song or something? I don't know what it was. I forget now, and I don't see it listed here because we have to play it and find out. But you know, there might have been a better music put behind it. Might have had a different feel to it.
Right.
However, and then Tim Cook, of course, tweets out, or X, or whatever the hell they're calling themselves these days, about how proud he is of the new thing, how great it is. Just imagine all the things you use to create with this. And he puts a link there, or the video of this ad. And the backlash started. And people, I don't want to say people, I want to say... writers, journalists were pissed and started writing these horrible reviews of this ad commentary. And it got to be a bit crazy. The first one I saw of this was, and I put a link here for you guys to click on it, where he says, Apple's Crush ad is disgusting. You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Devin Coldaway. I think most of these people who wrote these articles were doing it, obviously, for just for clicks.
Let's
put the word disgusting in there, have a radical point of view on it, or an overreaction, and we'll get clicks. And boy, did they. They talk all about how horrible this is. I mean, here's a quote. What we all understand, though, because unlike Apple ad executives, we live in the world, in the real world is what they mean, is that the things being crushed here represent the material, the tangible, the real, and the real has value, value that Apple clearly believes it can crush into yet another Black Mirror. This belief is disgusting to me. I can't tell you how upset I was by reading this. I was so upset. I never do this.
Oh, no.
If you scroll down through this article, you will read the first post. In response is me. And here's my quote. I said, I have to laugh at how serious this ad is being taken and how literal. Absolutely no one is suggesting, including this ad, that you can't use traditional tools to be creative. On the contrary, they are saying how amazingly creative you can be with the power of the new iPad. And then I got several replies.
That's gutsy to write a public comment.
I did. I was so pissed. I've never done this before. I put my name on it. I didn't, disguise it or anything. And it's amazing how many people did sort of agree with me that this is overkill. Now, I won't tell you what I originally wrote because it got rejected from their thing because I was attacking the author, quote unquote. So I just took the first paragraph of it and posted that. But then people go on to say how overreaction this is. It's like, how sensitive are you that this, it's an ad. It's a commercial. It's so ridiculous for people to go so overboard and to complete. Now, did Apple maybe underestimate how this might be confusing to some people? How someone might interpret it differently than it was intended? Yes. Mm-hmm. I took it exactly as it was intended, though, and I loved it. So hey, what were your guys' reaction to this?
Yeah, I thought I understood the message that they were trying to convey, but you were saying, I mean, it was the execution, the music, the timing. It basically the fact that it took almost a minute, right, of zeroing in and focusing on these sentimental types of things being destroyed.
Yes.
The destruction of it was more, God, I missed the word, but it didn't need to. I mean, you can compress all of those things into something, but you don't have to show the destruction of them. I think that's the message that was misread.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where I was too, Vincent. When it was over, I thought, wow, it was kind of in your face. And my next immediate reaction was, I'm going to read the comments because I'm going to tell you people are going to explode over this. And I don't do a lot of online stuff at all. So I just read the comments here, but, I was the same way. It could have shown everything coming together versus crushing and exploding. They could have done a little different, which maybe would have toned it down a little bit. But you know what? It's achieving what it was supposed to achieve. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, the obvious message is how do you take all of these great creative things, tools, and put them into the thinnest form factor possible? Oh, I'm going to try to crush them all into this one thing. And that's all it really was. It wasn't to be interpreted as replacing these things or destroying these things. It was simply putting them all into one powerful device, which, someone else had commented in here on the idea of, what was it? They agree that the author is going over the top, but they think the traditional, often beloved tools being literally destroyed and replaced with an ultra mass-produced, ultra uniform iPad is making people realize that that's not a trade they want to make. Mm. And my comment was, I agree about the author going over the top, but I'll bet this article was written on a computer or iPad and not on traditional pen and paper. Mm-hmm. The trade has been going on for decades. And one does not replace the other. It's a choice. I said, this is coming from an artist myself. I use all mediums, including the iPad, in the end, they are all just tools to accomplish the same thing.
Yeah, but with the press, I mean, it shows that it's destroying it. I mean, compressing it and putting it together is one thing.
That's what I thought.
But like they work together, yeah. Mm-hmm. But like the literal kind of gratuitous destruction of something was just, I felt that it just ran a little long. I mean, they could have gotten the message.
Maybe.
The funny thing is, that's what I said.
Yeah. They may have misinterpreted some of the things that could have been tweaked.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it was done so well.
It was done
well. Guarantee you this was CG. Nothing was destroyed. It was too perfect.
Yeah, right.
Mm, mm-hmm.
There was no way this was real, that you can end up on that emoji.
Yeah, no one knows, huh? No one knows if it's CG or for real.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
You mentioned that's the word I was looking for was press.
Yeah, because these things are hydraulic presses are actually very expensive.
Is this a case of bad press for Apple?
It's bad press. Any press is good press at this point.
There's no such thing as bad press unless you use a press to get bad press.
It's just kind of explosive press.
Explosive.
Okay. So after this fallout, and this was only one article of many that jumped on the bandwagon of this, of course, Apple actually apologized for the ad after the criticism. And here's their quote. This is from Apple's marketing VP. It says, creativity is in our DNA at Apple, and it's incredibly important to us to design products that empower creatives all over the world. Our goal is to always celebrate the myriad of ways users express themselves and bring their ideas to life through iPad. We missed the mark with this video, and we're sorry.
Well,
now the other result of this commercial was supposed to run on an ad flight, which they canceled or replaced with a different ad. But it is still, I checked this morning, on their YouTube channel. You can still watch it. They didn't pull it completely.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like this everywhere. The people that get pissed off or want to complain far outweigh the people that are like, hey, that was kind of cool, and move on.
Yeah,
sure.
So there could have been a million people who hated it. There could have been 20 people who thought it was the coolest thing in the world, and they don't say or do anything. So, you know, you don't get the full story most of the time. So I guess I'm saying the apology is the apology, but, sometimes you don't get all the data.
Yeah, but what's interesting is like Apple just doesn't run a commercial without a focus group.
That's true too.
Yes.
We've said that four or five times, maybe two or three times in the last year over things. Maybe they're not doing it. I don't know this stuff.
Well, maybe they are, and it was fine. It's the press that decided to pick on this and make it something.
Oh, the press, who's changed from great reporting that brought you facts to I need a click, so let me bring emotion out of you, right? So who's changed the most? The iPad with this ad or the press?
Because I'll tell you, again, looking at these comments that follow mine on here, there's so many positive ones.
Yeah, right.
In fact, I would argue that there's more positive ones in the comments here than negative.
When I went down and read them, I thought there'd be a lot more negative ones.
No, there's quotes. Mm-hmm. Okay, the article was written by, what was his name? Devin. I'm going to call you out here, Devin.
Devin Coldaway.
Yeah. But some of the comments are, calm down, Devin. Another one says, Devin seems like the one guest you never want at a dinner party. And then I love this. Dan Kim says, gonna be honest here. I interpreted this ad as, look at all these things you can do with this incredibly thin slab.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the whole purpose of the pneumatic press was to show how impossibly thin the iPad has gotten. This article seems to make a storm in a teacup. Mm-hmm. That's it right there.
That's it.
Storm in a teacup is what they're doing.
By the way, calm down, Devin is my new, for anything in my family, my work life, calm down, Devin.
Calm down, Devin.
It's happening tomorrow morning.
Oh boy. Oh man. Well, thanks Apple for giving us a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I've never gone from those highs and lows. It's like I was so I love that ad so much. It's like, yes, Apple did a really great creative ad.
Mm.
And then I read these articles and then I went to such anger, which I shouldn't, but drives me crazy.
Because you listened to what other people said. You didn't just absorb it and move on, Tom.
I could not be in advertising today. I couldn't do it. I could not take this.
Yeah.
Because you put your heart and soul into these things. And I guarantee you, whoever did this, this took a lot of time and a lot of effort to get it just right. And yeah, maybe they lingered. Maybe they loved it too much and it was a little too long, but it was spot on and very simple, very clean. And that's so difficult to do these days in ads.
Yeah.
You know, the ad that's replacing this, by the way, in their campaign is very basic. I mean, you're seeing the pencil drawing, you're seeing, you know, it's a typical beauty shots of the product kind of ad.
Right.
Now, for the another response that I thought was quite interesting, of course, and again, you're going to think I don't like this. I absolutely love this. Samsung released a 43-second response to the Crush ad that Apple got all the flack for, and it's someone walking into a room where the press is or has been with all this debris around, and they pick up a smashed guitar. They set a Samsung tablet on a little easel there, and they start playing music. And it says, creativity cannot be crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they got this out so quickly, genius.
Yeah, they did it on their at home with their iPhone.
Yeah, you're right. Probably.
Yeah.
They'll never admit that.
No.
Will they? They'll never admit that. Anyway, I love this response. I love.
Yeah, that's very creative.
When it's extremely creative, and it's done quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like they spent weeks and weeks and focus group.
Right. Yep.
This was a run and gun. We're going to get it done. And that's usually sometimes the best creative because you don't have time to second guess yourself.
Quick clap back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, nice response. I'll put a link show notes for that too, in case you hadn't seen it.
It's funny. It's one of the longest stories we've talked about in a long time, and it's an ad.
It's an ad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, got a lot of press.
It worked. Like I said, it worked.
By the way, you talked about them shooting this on iPhones. There was a note at the end of Apple's video that says that the event was shot on iPhone and was edited on Mac and iPad. So for the first time, one of their videos was actually edited on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
That's the funny thing is when this whole thing opened up, the first thought that crossed my mind was how far back did they start filming and putting this together? Like, I mean, all of the hardware, I mean, they maybe had maybe replacement items and everything else, but like the Tim Cook's introduction, all of the, you know, the speakers and everything else. I mean, they might've shot this like weeks ago. I mean,
probably.
And then, you know, the commercial shot had been shot months ago as well.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, that's another thing that people don't realize is how long it takes Apple to do something. This iPad has been in their schedule and lineup for years and is just now coming to market. So it's not like they just decided this year they're going to do this to the iPad and do this to the pencil. No, this was decided years ago, you know, so the roadmap, in other words, but which makes me think I'd love to see the roadmap now for what's coming in a few years.
Right.
Now, there's certain things they do have to pivot quickly on, like this AI throws a little monkey wrench into things, their plans. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they go down this road all the way, and right before launch, they pull the plug and say, nope, got to go back and make it better or change it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see something from Apple, it's been in the works a long time.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, this commercial, obviously, Backlash had to apologize. You got the fine woven case that within a week in the public eye said it's crap because it stains and looks terrible. Mm-hmm. So maybe they aren't using focus groups, or they're using the wrong ones, or they're using employees or something, because those are two things in a very short period of time after the release were very very critical. And if, I mean, the fine wolf a case, if you just said 500 people take these home for 2 weeks, they would have said, oh, let's not make this, right? So I don't get it. Well, you know, that's two examples where Apple kind of missed the boat, and it's within 6 months.
Maybe they're not playing with an impartial jury. I mean, if the largest company the world, you know, like it's everybody, a bunch of Apple fanboys come into a room, they're like, I'm going to love everything.
Well, so, yeah, there is some of that, I'm sure. Yeah. But also realize in the past, there was no other opinion other than Steve. Mm-hmm. Mm. If he liked the ad, it was never focus grouped.
Yeah,
he never did focus groups.
That's right.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It was a focus group of one. And that was whether Steve liked it or not. Mm. Right? So, and that goes all the way back to the 1984 commercial. If you want to talk about an Apple commercial that backfired.
True. Right.
There was one right after the 1984 commercial called Lemmings, where they had a bunch of people who were supposedly PC users walking right off a cliff, one after another, right?
Oh, like remember that. Yes.
And they got more backlash than this did.
In a different way, though, too, because it was old school backlash, right? It was like, press and TV, probably.
Right. It wasn't anything that could spread that quickly on the internet.
Right.
So they've done this in the past before, missed the mark, if you will. But it's rare. It's rare for them. So anyway, what else?
I'm wore out after that one. Can we take a break? No, I'm kidding.
Man, I tell you, I almost kind of want to. This is so funny. I've got a second screen here in front of me, and it's kind of like it's a tablet thing, a flat thing. Like I think I reviewed it on the show, and it's kind of like an iPad, and I keep touching it because I've been using the iPad more lately. I keep touching it to scroll, and it won't. So I hate when that happens. let's see what else is going on here. Speaking of. This whole iPad, this is a very iPad centric show, of course. This is an interesting article. It says Apple's iPad upgrades March Lightning one step closer to death. And that's true. They have finally gotten rid of all Lightning ports on iPads now.
Yeah.
All gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't sell anymore. Currently, even the Siri remote, I mentioned this before, is now USB-C. And the Apple TV 4K. So right now, and by the way, it's taken them quite a while to move from Lightning to USB-C on like the iPads. And that's one of the last major groups of things. But right now, I think the only thing left that Apple sells with a Lightning thing connector on it is Magic Keyboards for the Mac. The Magic Mouse, the Magic Trackpad, and the AirPods Max. Mm. And I guarantee the AirPods Max is changing probably whenever the new one comes out this year or next year. And the current iPhone SE, which is not an accessory but does still use Lightning. Mm-hmm. That may be changing this year too.
Yeah, I see that happening. That's a EU requirement too, right? Yeah.
That's why. And, you know, the major changes they made to the Pencil Pro was worth the wait. I hope they do the same thing with the Magic Mouse. We've waited a long time to change it. I hope it's not just a change to, oh, now it's USB-C. Mm. I hope they actually change it and make it more functional.
Mm. Well, the thing is that whole that MagSafe type of charging should have been on the mouse years ago. With the functionality on the Pencil, I mean that would have been just being able to snap against your iPad, your keyboard or something, and charge. Oh man, or your Mac,
or Apple comes out with its own Magic Mouse Pad, Pad that it just charges when you move it to the corner.
Yeah, right? The mouse pad
of the pad, right? Yeah, why not do that? And then you can sell more devices that way. Sell the pads.
Mm-hmm. Vincent, do you use a mouse?
I do, but I have swapped it out with the Logitech one, the MX3. Yeah.
Okay. And you do too, Tom, right?
Yes. In fact, when I got my Mac Studio, I got the black Magic Mouse.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, with the black. So I've got that. You know, I've got those other, those mechanical keyboards.
Yeah.
With the black frame and stuff. So I got the black mouse to kind of go with it. But, you know, I keep eyeing the old trackballs. I love those things. I used to use those all the time. Mm-hmm. I still make them. Okay. Is that anything else?
No, I'm just thinking we should make a whole like Mac retro, you know, designed to look like Macs, all these peripherals, because they're not doing it.
That's right. I thought you were going to say we should do a podcast and pretend like we're doing a podcast when they came out with some of this old stuff.
That would be hilarious.
And review it, right? Review the old tech.
That'd be kind of hard to do.
That's a good idea.
It'd be kind of hard to do, though.
Throwback.
No, it'd be easy.
All right.
Info's there. You just got to pretend like it's new.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
I'd say, well, someday they'll do this to this, you know, because I know they can, you know, so I would have a hard time going backwards, but we could try.
Well, it's like, okay, so you could do a whole episode about upgrading from the Macintosh Plus to the Macintosh SE. Right? All the differences, you know.
Yeah.
You're going from the black and white screen to the color. Ooh. Yeah. Anyway, what else is going on that happened this week? Apple reported their second quarter earnings.
Mm-hmm.
They had $23.6 billion in profit on $19.8 billion of revenue.
90.8,
sorry. So they were actually down by particularly the iPhone revenue dropped over $5 billion compared to the year ago quarter. Services set a record, I think.
Yep, 23.9. Yes. Yeah,
that's 23.9 billion. And then, what happened to wearables? They dropped by 800 million. So not.
Oh yeah, it did drop a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, 800 million, not quite the B, not a billion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Macs increased about 300 million and services, by 3 billion.
Yeah, so, that was a little surprising. Macs.
Yeah, things are kind of all over the place here.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope, and so does Apple, that next quarter the iPad revenue would increase based on what they just released. Challenging times. And as they've done ever since, I guess, COVID or maybe slightly before they issue no guidance for the next quarter. They're just never going to do that again. I don't think.
They won't.
They're not sticking their neck out to say anything. It's just not.
Well, certainly.
Can't rely on anything.
My stock portfolio did a nice though. I mean, it really moved the needle.
But the only reason I think it moved a needle was all the buyback that Apple did.
Yeah, it did do that. What was $1 billion or something? Buyback.
Yeah, wasn't Berkshire Hathaway the one that sold off a whole bunch?
But they've been doing that consistently, quietly over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
I think Warren Buffett thought he may have bought too much Apple, and he can't just dump it all because it'll destroy the stock price. So he's on a regular basis just selling, getting rid of it. Yeah,
Diversifying.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he's probably going over to NVIDIA at this point.
He might be doing that.
I think he may have missed the boat on that one, maybe.
I got a disclaimer on this podcast. This is not financial advice.
No, this is, do not get your stock tips here, please.
Yeah,
do not.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, disclaimer, you will lose all your money.
Well, not really.
Possibly. What else here? Apple is... finalizing the deal, this is according to Bloomberg, Mark Gurman, that Apple's finalizing a deal with OpenAI to bring ChatGPT features to iOS 18.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about this because they're also in talks with Google for a partnership. But apparently, they have a definite agreement now with ChatGPT to bring that to the iPhone and to work it into the OS.
Yeah, this is going to be crazy.
It's going to be nuts, yes.
I hope we're not making too much of it. I hope Apple doesn't just slowly do it and we don't get wowed by it. because that's the worst thing they could do.
Well, yeah, this is the two part like AI that I was theorizing about, like ChatGPT and OpenAI would power the one that's running on the phone or the iPad for that matter, stand for. So it makes sense to have something that's running locally and powerful enough to process the stuff that's on your phone, photos, everything else, and then be able to communicate securely with the Google Gemini API to ask questions externally. So it's not necessarily having to marry the two, where OpenAI is also fetching external data, also has access to your internal personal data, and then accidentally putting the two together in terms of its learning corpus. Yeah.
What about hallucinations?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you have to verify.
So if Apple, wait, if Apple's partnering with someone, so it's not on device, it's going out into the big wide world, and it's getting false information, doesn't that make the iPhone look bad?
There's a big old disclaimer at the bottom of that thing for the external, data, right?
But when it happens and it becomes a news issue, and you know it will, they're going to blame Apple.
Well, I don't know if it's Bard or it's Bing Chat, but some of these, aren't they providing like links to where they actually got the data?
Sure. Yeah, they do.
So that does I guess it's not enough though. I guess if you use ChatGPT all the time, you would just get inundated with the links, right, to validate it.
I guess it just depends on how it's implemented because...
And how you use it too.
If this becomes a new voice assistant to replace, you know, who, who begins with an S, ends with an I, and it's getting false info and it's reading it back to you, there's no way for me to know where it got, where it sourced the info, right?
You when it reads it back to you, I'm sure that it'll say something like, "Hey, check your iPhone for links externally to verify this information."
But it's isn't probably that what Siri does now?
Yeah. No, but the thing is, it'll tell you, but then also and disclaimer. And when you activate this, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of disclaimer that you.
Well, that's no fun. That's not like the movie Her.
She
doesn't go around stating disclaimers.
I think a large part of it has to do with if it's looking up stuff externally, it'll probably disclaim it. But like based upon the training material that it has on your device, it's going to be pretty darn accurate, I think.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to say, "Hey, give me pictures of all the dogs that I have on my phone," that's not hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've been looking at it to support my sales team, because when you're selling deals, you do a deal update with your rep and you talk through it, and then they give you what's going on. I'm like, we could start you using AI to look at all the emails, and the AI will say, you know what, this guy's not buying from you. You could kind of take it out of the head and the heart of the sales rep and put it into the data of what the people are saying. And there's all kinds of tools that do that already, where I see it's very valuable. And that's all the stuff that's on your device, right? Emails, conversations, things like that.
Yeah. Notes is going to be super powerful. I mean, listening, conversations, processing, all that stuff is going to be so much more.
Well, I got that Bard thing I reviewed a couple months ago, right? It's ChatGPT that I record calls, because we record calls all the time. You always ask, "Hey, we're going to record this call."
Sure,
no problem. I use that little recording thing and I summarize it, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. What it doesn't do is tell me intent. It just does great job. I want something that tells me intent of someone when I'm talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking, right?
Yeah. This is the problem Apple faces is what features do they do on device and what features have to go out and get information, and how do you present both of those in a way that the consumer understands where it's coming from and how accurate it is. Because if you lose trust, now I don't trust my phone at all.
Right.
Even if the on-device stuff, now I'm questioning everything, right? So it's, it's a difficult, difficult thing that they're facing right now.
And I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, and it's a kind of a U.S. analogy, but college sports went from you can't get a cent to do anything outside of your sport, else you're pro and you're done, right? No scholarship, no nothing. Well, now all the laws change. Now it's like the Wild Wild West. We can give you $10 million. You could do all this. It's crazy, right? It went from 0 to 1,000 in a week. That's what AI can do on your phone if it's going externally. Mm-hmm. It goes from nothing today, you know, this device, this one word that I won't say that says go find, this is what I found on the internet, to you can find anything on the internet and it'll tell you all this stuff. You go from 0 to 1,000, right, in the next version of iOS. So it's going to do that. So the
right, but my point is, what's your trust level?
That's where I was going at. It's going to, the trust level, it's going to take the trust level from, okay, I can go see a website so-and-so told me, to, holy cow, what do I got now?
Yeah, trust is weird now. I mean, there's I mean, number one, when you're asking a question of the, I guess, the new AI on your on device, it will recraft your prompt properly in order to ask the external AI in a different way. So that could possibly change your intention in terms of what response you get back, but hopefully it's better. And then the other thing that I've seen lately is like, because AI is so good at creating imagery, that people are starting to guess whether or not that stuff is real. And historically, like historical pictures, and whether or not they were AI generated. And people don't trust the imagery anymore. Like, no, this is a real picture of XYZ, right? And they're like, no, that's made up. I'm like, oh, now you're having some weird conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I've been seeing lately in my feeds is imagery and or posters for movies that don't exist. And done very convincing.
Yeah. Trailers as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Trailers. Yeah.
Not video, just imagery that's like an announcement of they're making a sequel to whatever with so-and-so in it, and they've aged the person or they've done whatever, and it looks really legit.
Yeah.
I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago in Orlando, and each morning before the main tent speakers, they'd go through all this, you know, it's kind of be at the movies now where they give you all this stuff to read, and every day they gave you like pictures that said one of these two pictures was generated by AI. You're like, I don't know. It's a 50-50 guess. There's no way to tell. So, I mean, that's the trust factor of if I can just ask for something, I'm going to get it. I mean, you have to put in your personal life if you're going to believe something or not, and if you're going to validate it or not. And you know, it's your power that you got to come to, you know, and because it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Well, the WWDC kicks off June 10th. We're talking about three weeks from now. We will know.
Yeah.
We'll know exactly what Apple has on its roadmap for AI, or what it intends to do, and whether we'll be surprised or disappointed or excited. I don't know. But I guess we'll find out in about 3 weeks.
I mean, it will be fun because they could do like a presidential debate with Biden and Trump. That is not really Biden and Trump, you know? So you got to be careful these days of what you're watching, right?
You really do. Because it's only getting better.
Mm-hmm. If you want to call
makes
it that.
Which makes it worse.
Yeah.
Okay. Two other little things here I want to mention. I thought this was interesting. Apple's AFib, atrial fibrillation history feature, on the Apple Watch has been qualified by the FDA under its Medical Device Development Tools program, the first digital health technology feature of its kind to do so. So I guess that means that they have FDA approval to use that history in treatment, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
That's great.
That's big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes here if you want to read a little bit more about it. But it was all done after, I guess, a clinical study.
That's fantastic news because that just shows the credibility of the technology to help human lives. So, we weren't sure, you know, 5 years ago when all that was happening, we weren't sure where it was going. So getting it qualified is amazing.
Yeah. It's one thing to actually take the data and keep it, but to have someone like the FDA or whatever to say, yes, you can use that data to make medical judgments is a step forward, I think.
Yeah, the doctor can prescribe you a watch now.
That's right. I didn't think of that. That's perfect. Oh,
what a great idea.
I think I need the Ultra, honestly, Doc.
I do.
A prescription for the Ultra.
Be covered by insurance. There you go.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I need a medical device. It's technically a medical device now.
I think you're onto something now.
I think you are. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, final thing I wanted to, I just thought this was so silly yet kind of interesting, sort of in a way. There's a company called Cake, and they're trying to turn your Apple Watch into a tiny iPhone replacement. So this is, it's a startup. They're currently working on a case and an app for the Apple Watch, which is intended to make it possible to use the Apple Watch as an iPhone replacement, but with limitations. Now, what they've done is create this case to put your watch into that is designed very suspiciously reminiscent of the Rabbit R1 AI gadget. It looks almost exactly like it. Mm-hmm. So the digital crown is converted into a scroll wheel on the that you use. And then I'm not sure. It just basically is a device you hold in your hand, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
In your pocket. Sure.
Or in your pocket, which is what that rabbit thing does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you scroll through things with your thumb, I guess.
And you put the watch in your mouth when you're going to make a phone call.
Anyway, they're going to have a Kickstarter campaign here shortly. And I can tell you right now, if it's at a reasonable price, I will probably do it.
Yeah. What are you going to do with your old watches?
Exactly. I've got a bunch of them. Yeah. This would be perfect. And in fact, if you go to their website, it comes in five different colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And now I have to say, looking at this website, they completely copied an old Apple iMac ad where they've spread them out in a semicircle and they use the word yum mm-hmm. because of the colors. It says, have your cake and eat it too. Okay, but your typography choices absolutely suck.
Yes.
These are horrible.
They look like it's like 1987 version one of the internet.
If you're going to copy Apple, do it all the way. Right? Come on. Anyway, very interesting little device. I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to see it. I, for one, will probably, if the price is right, I think I might be getting a few of these for my old watches.
Guess a price. Let's put a guess of a price, Tom.
I would assume the app is going to be a free download because you have to have the device to work with it. I'm going to say, man, this could be $60.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go $99.99.
I was going
$29.99.
Oh, really?
We're all over the place. We're all over the place.
Oh, we are. We have no idea. There's your focus group, Kate.
That's it. Okay. No idea what this price is going to be.
Yeah. Okay. So wait, let me write this down. Right. We'll go back and look at this and see who's closest because that's quite a spread. All right. Vincent, you said what?
I was like $29.99.
$30. Vincent, Chris, what'd you say?
I said $99.99. $100.
Okay, and I said it was going to be what? What did I say? 59?
You said $60.
$60. Like right in the middle. Yeah.
Okay. let's do that. And I will look back on these notes whenever this comes out if I can remember. Remind me to do that, and we'll see who wins.
Oh, I will. I'll remember.
That'll be hilarious.
It's probably going to be 100 and something.
Exactly. Add three of them up. Add all three of ours up, and that's the price.
That might be. It might be higher than all of these. Oof. Really. Yeah. I don't know. If they want you to collect all the colors, you're going to have to keep it modest. So.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
All right. Let's see. Anything else we've missed here? No. It's just, no.
X, Twitter is Twitter. Twitter.com is gone, though. That's one thing.
I noticed that.
Oh, yeah. I did notice.
Yeah.
That's now just X.
Can we stop saying formally
X? I think so.
Didn't I say that 2 weeks ago? I said it 2 weeks ago. They listened to me. And they said, okay, enough of the Twitter.
Well, Elon listens to the show, right?
Of course.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Of course. All right. we'll get to what we like here in just a minute. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. Check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. You can subscribe there and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. A big, big thank you to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right. What we like this week, since we're already kind of talking about it, Vincent, why don't you kick it off?
All right. It's going to be another AI week. Yes. So this week on May 13th, OpenAI announced GPT-4o, and the O stands for Omni. And I've been super stoked about this one because of the capabilities that it can provide in terms of real-time interface. It's much, much more in terms of performance, able to listen and interact with you. And they tweaked it so that the responses, the audio responses and the way that she, well, it verbally responds to you is much more nuanced, more has a lot more personality. SNL did a whole skit on this, I think, or is that the Daily Show, where it was just a little overly flirty, perhaps, as well, but I have yet to personally try it. I've been asking my version of it when it's going to be updated. It's rolling out for certain folks at certain times on the paid version of this. But the ability that it has now is computer vision. So you can give it access to your camera, and it can see what you're wearing, it can see what's in front of you, it can describe what room you're in, and it can actually then infer perhaps what you might be doing. So if it sees a microphone and a camera or something like that, it might say, hey, it looks like you're setting up for a podcast or a video cast or something like that. It will know these things, which is kind of scary and cool at the same time.
So, and why would it need to know that?
Wanted to describe something or, you know, one of the use cases that they had was actually two that they demonstrated on their site. Let's say you have a referee playing, you're playing paper, rock, scissor, and you want a referee. It will referee for you. It can see what you have put up and say, hey, who won? It can also, based on, like an iPad interaction, see like a math problem that you're working on and tutor you through the process of solving, a geometry problem or something like that. They had a video where Imran Khan of Khan Academy was, asking it to teach his son, about the Pythagorean theorem and hypotenuses and stuff. And it was able to not answer this question, but just guide the student through the process of solving it, which is like some mind-blowing stuff. It can also just asked, there was one demo where you're preparing for an interview and it'll suggest that, how you're dressed or what you should do with your appearance. So it has all of those types of capabilities. So the amazing thing is this is for Omni. There was a recent interview with Sam Altman and ChatGPT 5 is going to be mind-blowing if Omni itself, 4.0, is just at this point. So I'm thinking that the M4 on the iPad is intended to support all of this GPT 4.0 and 5 and beyond, and the camera and the capabilities and everything that it has. It has to be able to support that. And as we were talking, the trust level, the capabilities, all these things are kind of on the wayside because everyone else is going to do it. Samsung's going to do this. Google's going to do this. Mm-hmm. Facebook is going to do this with their phone. So everyone is racing as fast as they can to get AI onto a device. I think the iPad is the only thing that's going to be capable of this in the near future until people replace their phones.
Apple plans, I do believe, that M4 will be on every device by the end of the year.
Right, because it has to. It has to support this new AI. And on top of that, one cool feature that caught my attention was that a lot of folks were testing the multilingual proficiency, the ability for it to listen to a conversation, a two-way conversation in multiple languages. So it's going to Sherlock the whole translate apps and everything else, that as you're speaking, it will automatically translate, not very accurately at this point, depending on whether you mumble. If you speak clearly into the mic and everything else, it will be able to immediately translate what you're saying. So the universal translator is coming.
Star Trek. There it is.
It's crazy. That's here.
That's what I'm super excited about this week, and you know, digging into it. And I've got to also admit that I did ask it to summarize its features for this podcast.
Oh, there you go.
So it's definitely helpful in terms of gathering information real quickly.
Well, I have to add. Okay, so this is. Do you do this through a browser or through the app?
There's both. And actually, they did announce this. There is through the browser. You can do it there. You can download the app for your phone. And they just released an app for the Mac, which I do not have a device to install it on at this point.
What is it free?
It is. And actually, that's a good point. It's free. You do have to subscribe to it. The paid version is about $20 a month. I don't know if I should say this, but multiple people can log in using the same account.
Wait. What do you get when you subscribe?
You get basically preference in terms of processing time.
Oh, okay. Kind of Mid-Journey. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You get your questions answered first. It is a little glitchy when there's heavy usage during that time. It'll go through a certain number of tokens and just kind of pause out on you. I've seen it just kind of stop midway. Mm-hmm. But I've been using it almost daily in terms of asking it questions, helping it. Mm-hmm. My latest one was, you know, tell me a premium credit card that I should, you know, between all the things that are out there, like the points guy, like, hey, review this and tell me, you know, what credit card I should.
Does it speak to you or is it still just text?
This one speaks to me. The pro version, or at least this one, I think you can get the free version also speaks to you. But yeah, that's the one that I interact with the most, especially surprisingly in my car, because you can just kind of speak to it back and forth guided podcast or something like that.
Virtual assistant.
Yeah. But, you know, just a PSA out there, there's so many apps on the App Store that claim to be the ChatGPT app, but definitely look for the one that's it is the first one. It's the one by published by OpenAI. Get that one. I have no idea about the security level of the other ones and what kind of data that they're collecting, but use that one.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. That's exciting.
Yeah.
A little sneak preview of what's coming in here in 3 weeks. We'll find out.
Yep.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
That's pretty exciting stuff, Vincent. So what I like this week, first of all, I think I reported last time that my wife, I gave her an Apple Watch for Mother's Day. It's been on her wrist for a week, and she hasn't taken it off from her Fitbit. You know, she put the Fitbit aside. Now, I will say this. I've said, hey, any help, come to me. I'm itching to, like, tell her all this stuff, and I'm holding back because that's the way she is. She's coming to me with a couple things, and I'm like, do this. So it's great. I think she's liking it. I got her the 40-millimeter black SE, and so far, so good. So I'll keep reporting on that. And if she comes back with any more questions, I'll report on that. But I think that's a big thumbs up. A couple other quick things that I'll reporting what I like this week is I did drive from Tennessee to Louisville for the PGA of America, you know, the golf tournament, and was one of the unlucky people that was stuck outside the course for about an hour and a half, 2 hours because of the incident that happened at the front of the course Friday morning. With the death of the volunteer as well as the arrest of Scottie Scheffler, it was nuts. I mean, the whole thing was crazy. And we went to the tee where he was going to tee off. He started the 10th tee at about 10 o'clock, and it was crazy. People are aggressive today. By the way, they scream all kinds of things. I'm just standing there going, "Hey, congratulations, go!" And there, you wouldn't believe some of the things were screamed loudly at today.
In all caps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And last thing I liked is just before we started this podcast, the F1 race ended, and two races in a row, which is unusual for F1, were really, really exciting. So it was a great race that Max Verstappen beat Lando Norris by like a second. So you don't see that very often. So it was really fun. So it was a good weekend of sports and Apple Watch. Not as fighting as ChatGPT, but hey.
There you go. All right. Okay. What I like this week, of course, is the new iPad Pro 13-inch M4, the new Magic Keyboard, and the Pencil Pro. Now, it took me a while to make this decision, but what put me over the top is the fact that the main use for this device for me is drawing in Procreate. Now, I use that to create designs for our business, so it's used quite a lot. And I am coming from, if you can believe it, the original iPad Pro 12.9-inch from 2015. So almost 10 years of use on this device, and I've been using it kind of less and less as it gets a little slower and slower over time. But I've kind of been waiting for a big enough change in the iPad lineup to make the move, and this one did it for me, especially with the new features of the Pencil Pro. So I ordered the, I got the Space Black version with 1 terabyte of storage, Wi-Fi only. And I'm glad I kind of hesitated buying for a few days because I did learn in looking at the reviews and other things that people were saying, because it's not very clear on Apple's website. The one, and unless you really read the fine print, the 1 and 2 terabyte versions come with 16 gigs of memory. Whereas I think it's the 128 and the 512 only have 8 gigs of memory. So I probably won't notice that difference right away. But as you mentioned, Vincent, with Apple announcing AI features coming soon on a lot of those devices and stuff, more memory is going to be a good idea to do. So my first impression when I opened the box, obviously, was how thin it is and light. Again, 9 years of slimming down and refining the design will do that. The other thing is that it seemed too small. I mean, that sounds kind of weird to say, but it's more square than my old one. And when I turned it on, the actual screen size is the same, or at least by what, 0.1 inch. I think it went from 12.9 to 13. But so without the home button at the bottom of my old one and the smaller bezel, it's an optical illusion that the new one seems smaller.
Yeah, missing the chin and the forehead.
It's crazy. Yeah. Chin and forehead. That's it. I mean, at first I thought, wait a minute, this isn't horizontal. And then, oh, yeah, it is. It's the same. The setup, actually, I had some problems with it, a little bit difficult. It kept failing to transfer data from my old iPad. Maybe it's too old. Even if it was after a forced software update before it would even begin from my old iPad, I restarted the entire setup process, I kid you not, about 4 times.
Wait, so, you know, like, just to, like, there's 2 options, right? There's one that you can pull from backup and one from direct.
Right. So that's what I did. Okay. Because I thought maybe it's just something screwy going on. I gave up and I let it transfer through iCloud.
Yeah.
But even that took 2 to 4 hours to download all the data.
I hear the Apple Store recommends that.
They do?
Yeah, the latter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially, well, but okay, they recommend it, but then they're lying to you up front because they say you can get Moot going on this iPad in 15 minutes and everything will download in the background if you go through that method. Yeah. Or you can take about an hour and get it all done faster on device to device. I said, okay, well, let me do that.
Yeah, no. If you're using your prior device is the most latest device.
Yeah, that's the problem. I had a 9-year-old iPad. It just didn't communicate very well. Mm-hmm. It took forever for it to even find it sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, the data took forever to download because of the Procreate app. I have a lot of drawings and files there. That did take quite a bit. And it wouldn't let me open Procreate until all that was done. So anyway, I've only had the device for less than 48 hours now. But here are some of my other impressions of it. The screen brightness. This is that tandem OLED that we talked about. Mm-hmm. This is 1600 nits of peak brightness. And it didn't look too bright to me until I noticed in settings it was only set 3/4 of the way.
Oh, gosh.
I turned it all the way up and I was temporarily blinded by all the nits. Oh, my God. God, it's bright.
Wow.
And I guess if you're outside in the sun, that would make a lot of sense, and you want it that bright. Mm-hmm. But I haven't tested that yet in the bright sunlight, but I will. But if you work, an iPad outdoors, this is going to be great. Otherwise, you wear it indoors that bright, you're going to need some sunglasses. Mm-hmm. It's oh my gosh, it was so it was unreal how bright it got. Especially with a pretty white background, you know what I mean? It wasn't much imagery right. on it. Mm-hmm. All just the text and the white background is just, oh. So, yeah, the display is insane. The Magic Keyboard is great. I've never used one before, so I don't really have anything to compare it with. Mm. Nice metal finish, the large trackpad, the new function keys at the top. Very much just like a regular MacBook. And I love how it all folds down, nice and neat. Works very well, very sturdy. I think I'm going to enjoy using this on the road. The Pencil Pro is absolutely amazing. First of all, I have only used the original Pencil, as I mentioned. You know, the one where you have to remove the cap.
Right.
And oh, God, plug yeah. it into the oh, lightning yeah. port yeah. of the yeah. iPad so it sticks out waiting to get damaged or destroying the mm-hmm. port. Right. Mm-hmm. I love that this Pencil just magnetically clicks on the side and not only charges there, but also pairs. Very convenient. Mm-hmm. The Pencil is also lighter and shorter than my old one. Right. Quite a bit shorter. It seems more like a real pencil when you're drawing with it.
It's a matte really finish, right? The one you had a kind of glossy finish.
Gloss and had the silver, had that silver rim at the top.
Right, yeah.
This one is just solid, matte finish. There's that new squeeze feature I mentioned brings up a menu palette with a choice of changing, you know, what you're drawing with or eraser or other things. Mm-hmm. I also love, and apparently third-party apps can kind of customize what that does. Mm-hmm. I love the hover feature that shows where the tip is without touching the glass. I know that was in earlier versions, but it's the first time I've used it. And there's also that double tap feature and then that barrel roll where you twist the pencil to change the tip angles. It's crazy accurate. It's just nuts. Now, I saw a demo where they were drawing something that had these lines of color and they put the pencil down towards it and they turned that barrel roll and it created a swirl of colors. And then there was another one where they took the tip and just created these flowers with it just by turning it. It was nuts, just like you would with a regular thing. Now, speaking of crazy things, I saved the best for last. And that is the shadow feature. Have you heard of this? You can turn it on or off in settings, but it's on by default. And what happens is it creates a shadow of the tool you've chosen to use, a brush, a pen, a pencil, etc. There's a shadow on the screen in real time that changes with the angle of the pencil.
It's
mind-blowing.
Wow.
How it works. It works so well. You have to see this to really understand how much of an Apple like feature this is, the detail. That if I choose a different brush and then I bring that pencil back over the paper, I see a reflection of that brush.
That's pretty cool.
And it gets darker as I get closer. Wow. Yeah, it's real. It's nuts how they're doing this. And again, it had to be, I guess, the technologies in the pencil and how it reacts to the screen. That allows it to do this. Anyway, overall, I love this iPad, and I hope I get as many years with it as I did my last one. And I'll update later as I have more time with it. But for now, well worth the wait for the upgrade. And I can safely say that this iPad crushes my previous one.
You know, That's great.
So,
Sure about that. Where's the review button?
Yeah, it's really, really amazing.
Beautiful.
I can't wait. What's a little frustrating is Procreate hasn't updated their app yet to work with a new pencil. We're working on it. It'll be out shortly. So I haven't even tapped into all the new stuff for the main app that I use it for, and I'm still pretty excited about it. So,
wow.
All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well,
I, get, Yeah, it is very, very cool. Again, you know, 9 years, I think I got my money's worth out of the old one. That's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, as I mentioned before, you can check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. Check it out again at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about, as I mentioned, can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.